The easiest thing you'll ever do is keep your car serviced with Roda.
That's a real 5-star Google review from Diana S. And honestly, she nailed it. Roda is the DMV's most trusted auto shop. Maintenance, repairs, and detailing with free valet pickup and drop-off, no hidden fees and no pressure. Book in minutes at Roda.com and save 20% with code POD20. It's Roda. Duh.
In 1982, a made-for-TV movie called An Innocent Love aired on national television. It featured a real program at the University of Washington, the Robinson Center, a place where gifted students as young as 14 could enroll in an accelerated college track.
In 1974, the University of Washington established a program for exceptional children, regardless of their age, in an effort to discover their individual true potentials and talents. The founder and director.
While the program was real, the movie's plot was fictional. A 14-year-old Robinson student falls in love with a 19-year-old college freshman. It's framed as a sweet coming-of-age romance. As one IMDb reviewer put it, a simple movie with good values. Families can watch it with no fears.
The big SEX, Harry? You know, sex.
But the plot of Innocent Love unknowingly struck a darker chord.
I have a really strong moral direction when it comes to kids, young girls, being sexually abused and not being protected by the people who are around them, the adults who are around them. If you're going to take on the responsibility of putting kids in college, you have to take on the responsibility of keeping them safe.
I'm Margot Gray. This week on Campus Files, one reporter investigates disturbing allegations inside UW's Young Scholars Program and uncovers a crisis years in the making. On a hill overlooking Seattle's Lake Washington, and just a few miles from the Puget Sound, is the University of Washington, locally known as UW. It's a gorgeous campus.
UW is beautiful. It's surrounded by mountains. There's a lot of trees and greenery everywhere.
This is Manisha Jha, an alumni of UW, who's going to help us tell this story. Every spring, thousands of tourists flock to the quad to take photos of the blooming cherry trees. When the clouds lift, the glacier-covered peak of Mount Rainier rises in the distance. Against this backdrop, the university looms large.
UW is a massive entity within the Pacific Northwest. It's a huge school, and it's a really good school. People call it a public Ivy.
In 2016, Manisha was a freshman at UW.
UW was everything. Everybody in my family went there. It was a huge part of my life. My mom went to nursing school when I was a kid there, and she'd like take me to her classes. I'd read all her little textbooks. It was a really big part of my life from the start.
While Manisha was thrilled to start at UW, it took some time for her to find her footing.
Freshman year, I was just so focused on my grades. And I got to the end of my freshman year and I was like, I have a nearly perfect GPA and absolutely no friends or hobbies. So I was like, you know, I really like grammar. So I'm going to go be a copy editor at the local paper. And that's how it all started. I never planned to write. I never thought I would be a journalist. I never thought I was good enough for that. I didn't think I was a writer.
By her sophomore year, Manisha had joined the school newspaper, called The Daily, even though it only came out once a week.
The first story I reported was about this program that UW was leading called Stop the Bleed.
The Stop the Bleed campaign is a nationwide campaign that is designed to teach everyone in the community the basics of hemorrhage control, bleeding control.
That was a UW professor and chief of trauma at Seattle's Harborview Medical Center talking about the campaign.
They realized, you know, if we teach people first aid about what to do when somebody's bleeding out, we can prevent a lot of death and harm. And so I went to Harborview. I took this class. I interviewed the doctors. A photographer came and took really cool pictures.
Up until then, Manisha had been studying public health and thought she wanted to go into medicine. But reporting this story changed things for her.
I realized I could do public health by writing about it and being a journalist. And I realized that that could be a way where I was a public health practitioner.
This piece, which was Manisha's first for The Daily, ended up as the cover story.
Seeing my name and my cover story and that photo on the front page, that was amazing. I was hooked.
There was something energizing about the whole process of putting the paper together.
We made the newspaper on Sunday evening, and it came out on Monday. And then we were digital, I think, actually every day. And it was just this, like, ragtag team of teenagers and early 20-somethings who put together a paper. The newsroom was absolutely buzzing. It felt like those movies that were filmed in like the 80s about newsrooms, you know, like all the excitement. People are all over the place, editing, changing things at the last minute, demanding things that are not ready yet. It was very, very electric.
Manisha fondly recalled how anytime someone in the newsroom said something funny, someone would grab a marker and scribble it on the wall. It was their way of memorializing moments of levity. But beneath the jokes, there was a deep sense of purpose.
It was a really good group of people. They cared so much about the students around us, and we held ourselves to really high standards. And we had a mission to uncover stuff and make UW a better place. And I think that all goes back to, like, I love UW. I love that community. And when I love something, I want it to be better. And that's what we did. We were challenging UW to be better.
At the start of her time at the paper, Manisha was especially interested in covering women's health.
I thought, that's cool. You know, I'll write about sexual health. I'll write about what women are experiencing on campus and the problems we're facing. And lo and behold, that really turned into being a sexual assault reporter. And the greater context there was that, you know, at that time, that fall, my junior year, when I really started writing a lot about sexual assault, that was the same time that Brett Kavanaugh was being confirmed for the Supreme Court and his sexual assault allegations were coming out. And it felt close to home because everybody was talking about sexual assault.
This was also well into Trump's first term, and more than a year after the Me Too movement had started gaining traction.
It was a little overwhelming being a young student at the university, looking around, realizing that, like, sexual assault was something that was pretty pervasive for my friends. I mean, I experienced it. It was everywhere, and it was in the news all the time. And there was an openness that had never existed before. And so for me, it just made sense. I just wanted to listen to women's stories and elevate them and shout from the rooftops that sexual assault is happening, and it's happening every year. And we know a lot of the reasons and the ways to prevent it, and yet it continues.
From time to time, students would reach out to Manisha with rumors they had heard.
A lot of these rumors aren't true, but some of them are. And some of them come from somewhere. And there was that list. There was a list. I got an email. The subject line said, "List of rapists at UW."
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So this list is a completely unvetted list of sexual assault allegations. It was basically an online forum where people could just submit any allegations that they wanted to, and they would be posted online.
Manisha was reporting for the UW student paper when someone forwarded her a list, names of students alleged to be rapists. Figuring out what to do next wasn't easy. The claims were unverified and the evidence unclear. But as a journalist, she had a responsibility to look into it.
Because I was the health and wellness editor, I was open to these stories. And when you like open your eyes and ears to hearing these stories, they find you. And that's what happened. They found me and I had no choice. I had a responsibility to write about it.
Manisha decided to start reaching out to the people on the list, those who had been accused of rape.
I got in contact with every single person on that list that I could who was related to the UW community. And I would call these people up, like call this guy up while he's clearly at some sort of event where people are drinking and being very loud in the background. He was really confused why I was calling him. And I was like, did you know you're on this list? Did you do the things that were said? And of course he said no, he got quite upset at me. And I did that probably like 25 times.
Most of these calls went pretty much the same way.
There was one guy who I messaged who no longer, I think, lived in the U.S. at that time. And I messaged him and I asked him if he did what was said on the website. He basically said, maybe I did. It was an accident. And I'm really sorry. I didn't quite realize what I was doing when I did it. But he admitted it. He admitted it on the record that he sexually assaulted someone and that it was on the website.
Manisha was also interviewing survivors for the story, listening to painful, deeply personal accounts.
There was so much hurt that had built up over such a long period of time, and it was just like floodgates had opened. And I was the rape reporter, and it all came to me, and I had to receive it.
In September 2018, Manisha and two fellow student reporters published a story about the list, though they didn't name the accused. It wouldn't be Manisha's last story of this kind. She continued reporting on issues of sexual assault and domestic violence on campus. Then, during her senior year, while wrapping up a study abroad program in India, she started hearing rumors, whispers of a new story taking shape back at UW.
A lot of sexual assault just kind of exists within these whisper networks, and then that's how you find people to speak up. And so I was like, okay, this is another whisper. We're going to follow up on it. I heard from some of the other editors that I worked with that children were reaching out about potentially, you know, pretty big story about the Robinson Center having like a pretty toxic environment. We were hearing a lot about bullying and sexual harassment in class and just a lot of really problematic stuff.
Remember that movie clip at the start of the episode, the one about the Robinson Center? That gifted and talented program for young students wasn't a Hollywood invention. It's real.
The program entails dropping out of grade school and enrolling in 22 credits that squeeze 4 years of high school learning into 1 year. And depending on their performance, the students matriculate the following fall to complete a four-year degree by the time most kids are applying to college.
The Robinson Center is an extremely selective program within the University of Washington. Every year, parents flood Reddit with questions about how to get their young scholar accepted. Fewer than 20 applicants are admitted annually. Manisha began reaching out to these students, hoping to connect with someone enrolled at the Robinson Center.
They came into the newsroom, we sat down, I talked to them about what they were experiencing, and they were so young, and I was so young. That's what blew my mind about this.
And these students began to share their stories, beginning with what was happening inside the classroom.
So the students said the Robinson Center staff openly encouraged students to date within the center. And although many transition school students are around the same age, TAs can be up to 10 years older.
TA stands for teaching assistant. These are undergraduate or graduate students who support professors in the classroom.
Male students and TAs, I was told, maintained an environment of misogyny by making a lot of sexual jokes in class and online. One student, according to several sources, many people saw this happen. One TA mimicked masturbating next to the female student's head while he was leading a class session. And the TA continued to teach the student for the remainder of that quarter, even though she complained. And female students told me that the boys would regularly comment on their breast sizes, call them sluts, say they were only admitted to the program because they perform sexual favors. And then they took it further, I was told. Male students were accused of stalking, physically assaulting female students, including at one point allegedly pinning one to a wall to ask her on a date.
And remember, there was a significant age gap between the Robinson Center students and their counterparts at the university.
Many of the female teens end up in relationships with much older male students, and that looked like 15-year-old dating a 25-year-old grad student. One of the students told me, quote, "During my first quarter as a freshman, I myself was taken advantage of by an older male student. She was 15 at the time and he was 28. She told me, I think when you're in a really emotionally vulnerable place, you feel like having sex with someone a lot older is a way to regain power."
And the students, just 14 and 15 years old, tried to do something about it.
They tried every other avenue. They tried the counseling center. They tried talking to administration. They tried talking to the Robinson Center administration, and they felt like they hadn't been heard. The students told me that they were repeatedly told things like, you know, maybe you shouldn't talk about how you feel. Boys will be boys, and, you know, we just have to deal with these things. They had a lot of, quote unquote, community meetings where they would all get together with the administration, and they also referred to them as shit shows. So they were really ineffective in remedying any situation. One student said, "All the people who did this sexual harassing and bullying are all still there. We went to administration and told them this can't be called a safe space."
And this was the situation that Manisha was uncovering.
You have to be really, really desperate to come to like a 19-year-old and ask if they can write a story about a horrible thing that happened to you. I was acutely aware that I was writing about some of the worst days of people's lives.
With these allegations in hand, Manisha began looking for evidence.
While I was working to get as many sources for the story as I could, I also was working to get records to, of course, verify everything that was being said. So I submitted what's called a public records request to the university. I asked them for anything related to sexual assault, sexual harassment at the Robinson Center in the past. And they took quite a bit of time with it. I didn't expect to find anything necessarily new in these public records, just rather verification for what I already knew. And that is not what happened.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Manisha was waiting on the public record she'd requested about the Robinson Center when news broke.
UW issued a statement that said tenured professor John Saar was found to have engaged in, quote, inappropriate conduct with two students, including a 17-year-old undergraduate, end quote.
At the time, Dr. John Saar was a tenured professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. But from 2008 to 2010, he'd served as the interim director of the Robinson Center. It was during that time that Saar, then 46 years old, slept with a 17-year-old student in the Robinson Center program.
It was shocking. I read the records. I saw text messages that he sent to a girl over several months. And it took 10 years for this to come to light and for him to be put on leave.
Saar had been under investigation for 8 months, and the timing of the university's press release was no coincidence.
They knew that if they gave me these records and didn't get ahead of any story that I would put out, it would probably look pretty bad.
This news only strengthened Manisha's resolve to keep reporting.
It really seemed like there was an environment of not protecting these kids and not talking about how to keep them safe from pedophiles. There were two students that UW found out about and UW PD found out about, but it really felt like the Robinson Center's issues spread far beyond this one guy.
With so little accountability from the university, Manisha's work felt all the more urgent and all the more consequential.
It was really stressful. It was extremely high pressure. I was really protective of this story. I didn't want anyone to publish it before I knew. I was 100% confident in it. It's not standard practice to show your sources the story before you publish it. But since they were minors and there was a really large potential to do harm to these kids who were already really hurt, I showed them the story. I made sure that they were okay with how things were presented, how they came across in the story and the quotes that I used. We had probably like 10 people read and edit this story. We had our publisher review it. We had the assistant attorney general for the UW review it.
Manisha's referring to the fact that the Washington State Attorney General's office actually provides legal services directly to the University of Washington.
We were really, really solid. I mean, every single sentence of this story was fact-checked multiple times, and it held up.
The story Manisha was working on was nothing short of monumental. If she got it right, she could help protect scores of vulnerable students, both those already in danger and also future students at the Robinson Center. But if she got it wrong, she risked harming the very students she was trying to help.
These girls especially, who opened up to me and spoke to me, they were so young and they were so vulnerable and being sexually abused and not being protected by the people who are around them, the adults who are around them. And I think the purpose, one of the main purposes of school, of junior high, is to keep you safe. And when you take a kid out of that environment and you don't take a lot of precautions to make sure that they're safe, you're responsible for that harm. And I was just really scared that I would perpetuate any harm that had already happened to them.
Manisha sent a copy of the story to the university and to the Robinson Center for comment.
They really didn't respond. There was nothing to say. If there's no inaccuracies, they're not going to respond.
On December 5th, 2019, the story went to press, both online and in print. It painted a damning picture, a program where girls frequently suffered abuse, ranging from misogynistic jokes to sexual harassment, all while administrators looked the other way. One student recalled that after she reported being harassed, an administrator told her, quote, "Maybe you shouldn't talk about how you feel."
When the first couple of hours passed, I was like, we're good. Nobody has reached out with any corrections. Nobody has reached out. Like, the story got really big on Twitter pretty quickly. And of course, people would make like anonymous accounts and say that it was wrong. It was full of inaccuracies. But ultimately, it really held up. And I felt so empowered.
The director of the Robinson Center responded to the article, calling the allegations deeply concerning and promising a full review of the center's operations. But not long after, that same director stepped down. By 2021, just 2 years later, the new director was publicly claiming that the Robinson Center had changed. But Manisha isn't so sure.
I do hear from students. I do hear from Robinson Center students because I give a guest lecture every year about this story and the greater context and just my experience as a journalist at UW reporting on sexual assault. Once in a while, there will be a Robinson Center student in that class, or like they'll reach out to me over Twitter or something. And I've been told many, many times over that it is the same.
This ended up being the last article Manisha reported for the paper. We asked her why.
I still don't really have an answer for that. It was a lot on my body. I was really stressed. And I think it was a lot for some of the other editors that I worked with. Yeah, it was a lot to carry. It's just one of those things, right? Like, you can't close the floodgates once they're open. I'm always going to be this person who is open to hearing these stories and figuring out how we can try to reconcile and make things better.
When it comes to the Robinson Center and programs like it, Manisha still isn't sure. Should middle schoolers ever be on a college campus?
I don't have any normative judgments about the concept of kids being on campus. If you're really, really smart, I think gifted is a troublesome word. But I think if you're really smart and you really like school, you should be given all the opportunities in the world. I don't have any problem with gifted students, and I love school, and I love people who love school, and school shouldn't hurt you.
Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast. This episode was written and reported by Elliot Adler. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont, Elliot Adler, and me, Margot Gray. Our executive producers and story editors are Maddie Sprunkheiser and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is edited, mixed, and mastered by Chris Basil and Andy Jaskowitz. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, J.D. Crowley, Leah Reese-Dennis, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Kurt Courtney, Hilary Schuff, Sean Cherry, Laura Berman, and Hilary Van Ornum. Original theme music by James Waterman and Davey Sumner. If you have tips or story ideas, write to us at campusfilespod@gmail.com.